In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. What do you think the most frequently broken commandment is? I would wager that the most consistently and flagrantly violated commandment of the 10 that we have is number 4. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Imagine if we treated the other 9 commandments like we treat that one. We'd have people lying and stealing and killing and coveting all over the place. Thank goodness we're pretty solid on 6, 7, 8, and 9, that most of us don't murder or commit adultery or steal or bear false witness. And I like to think we try hard on numbers 1 and 2, keeping faith in one God and not making idols for ourselves. And at least we know better when we break numbers 3 and 5. That's taking the Lord's name in vain or honoring our father and mother. Number 10 can be tempting to break, coveting the things that belong to our neighbor, like their sweet house or their fancy possessions. But generally, I think we know that being jealous of other people's stuff is not something to aspire to. But number 4, I'm not even sure we want to keep this one. And if we do, we certainly have some room for improvement, let's say. Now, perhaps our lack of respect for the Sabbath comes from a misinterpretation of gospel passages like we have this morning, where Jesus engages in what the Pharisees consider direct violations of the Sabbath law. His disciples are plucking heads of grain to munch on, which violates the law not to reap on the Sabbath. And he heals the withered hand of a man in the temple, which violates the Sabbath rules since healing was considered work. The Sabbath was made for us, not us for the Sabbath, Jesus says. There are more important things than rest when people are hungry or wounded. So the Sabbath must not be that essential. Right? But Jesus was not anti-Sabbath. He was anti-hard-hearted legalism that did not allow for the alleviation of human suffering. Jesus does not disavow the Sabbath commandment. He properly reorients it, saying that doing good works like feeding the hungry or healing the sick are what one's relationship with God should produce. And if your understanding of the Sabbath is getting in your way of your relationship with God, then it's in the wrong position. When he says the Sabbath was made for us and not us for the Sabbath, he means that the Sabbath should be an avenue to a holy life, not a roadblock to it. But nowhere does he say, pay no attention to number 4. He says that like all the other commandments, they are supposed to make us better at loving God and loving our neighbor, not worse. So I don't think we can claim to ignore commandment number 4 because, well, that's what Jesus would do. In fact, I think the truer reason we ignore it is because we aren't really convinced of its benefit. We can see how destructive it would be for our common life if we all indulged in constant killing and stealing and lying, etc. But not taking a day off? How's that going to harm anybody? And we especially want to be assured that taking a Sabbath is worthwhile because time, I would venture to say, is our most valuable resource. And therefore, to give some of it up, we got to be sure it's going to be worth it. So why should we? Why should we pay attention to the Sabbath commandment and make the necessary compromises and sacrifices to follow it? Why should we part with such a precious, limited resource as our time? Well, first of all, the simple fact that it is so valuable means that it's exactly the kind of thing that we should be trying to give to God. Right? Does not God deserve the first fruits of our lives, the valuable parts, rather than the leftover rotted bits from the end of the harvest? Taking a Sabbath, taking a time of rest and offering it to God is an act of faith, an act of humility, an act of respect, and an act of gratitude that we even have time to begin with. But for those who might be in positions or have responsibilities that make them feel unable to take a Sabbath because to do so would be to put their jobs or their livelihoods in jeopardy, or might call into question just how committed they are to maximizing life's offerings, I would also submit that God's commandment to obey a Sabbath is not just a worthy sacrifice of which he is eminently deserving. It also works. It's good for us. Numerous studies have proven that taking times of rest during the day or during the week have incredibly positive benefits to almost every area of our lives. Taking breaks boosts productivity, creativity, it raises attention levels, it benefits our mental and physical health, and makes for happier relationships in almost every area of our lives. God commands us to rest because it's good for us. Being busy all the time is actually detrimental to our functioning and our flourishing. But the great irony here is that while rest is proven to be beneficial, we fail to take it for fear of appearing lazy or uncommitted. We pump ourselves full of caffeine to make it through the day. We let our vacation days pile up. And to be fair, sometimes we are penalized, either professionally or personally, by those who judge rest as a negative thing. That's true. But somehow, despite all the evidence, we resist rest, which is a tragedy because we so need it. Our bodies, our minds, our souls need rest. And to be clear, I'm not talking about like a nice 2-hour nap in the afternoon. I'm talking about breaks. I'm talking about chances for refreshment, to play, to get off the hamster wheel. I've heard too many stories of people who could keep their foot all the way down on the gas, ignoring their own needs and the needs of those around them, and eventually they run out and find themselves broken down by the side of the road. And all the success or money or power or fame that they accrued as they charged full speed through their life makes for cold comfort at that point. So if you find yourself making the argument against the Sabbath from a position of saying, well, I would if I could, but I can't, so I won't, then consider that taking some Sabbath time, some time to truly rest, might actually make you better at your job and make your life better. God's trying to help you out with this commandment, so take him up on the offer. But if that's still not convincing enough, let me tell you some other things I see. I see a lot of very busy, very stressed people whose self-worth and identity is tied up in being very busy and very stressed. To a certain extent, we have made an idol of busyness. We aspire to it. We worship it. We proclaim it. What's our first answer we often give when someone asks us, hey, how's it going? Busy. Super busy. I'm as guilty of this as anyone, which is ironic because my name, Noah, in Hebrew actually translates to rest. So you'd think I would be better at it, but I am not. It's like we're sprinting on this treadmill of busyness. And what's so cruel about treadmills is that they run us ragged without getting us anywhere. A Sabbath would throw a wrench right into the gears and force us, but for a few moments, to step off that treadmill and allow us the time and space for refreshment and self-exploration so that we might actually know and do what it is God is calling us to do with our lives. And perhaps that's why we're so resistant to it. Perhaps we stuff our lives so full of activity so that we don't have to face a certain emptiness or dullness or dissatisfaction within them. Pausing allows us to enter the dangerous space of self-reflection where we can ask ourselves, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? Those can be supremely scary questions for some. But Sabbath is not meant to throw us into existential despair. Remember, it's meant to draw us closer to God. Sabbath is meant to restore life where life is being diminished in some way, whether that's our lives or someone else's. That's why God is so insistent on it. And here we are back at Jesus. Whether it is hungry people being fed, or withered people being made well, or burnt out people being given back their flame, or busy people turning into purposeful people, the Sabbath is a time for us to reorient our life, to reground it in Christ, and to take back control of that most precious resource, our time, and to hallow it by offering it to God so that our lives may in return be made full in a different sort of way, full of meaning, full of purpose. By taking a Sabbath, we offer the whirlwind of our lives to the God who can calm it and show us the beauty that is there. We take all the noise that surrounds us, and he can spin it into a marvelous melody if we would but give him the chance. The Sabbath makes space for God to come into our lives so that our lives may be blessed, not just busy. So together, let's make a commitment. Let's try taking a few minutes each day, or a full day each week if you're feeling bold, to rest, to pause, and to pray, and to play, and to reflect, and to offer our life to God so that we can be restored to right relationship with him. For if we can rest in God, if we can take that Sabbath, if we can take commandment number 4 just a little more seriously, the promise is not only that our lives will be better, though they will. It's also that they can be holy as well.